Well, and I'm going to begin in Joshua chapter 1, and I'm going to share some of the scriptures that we are going to look at today. Hear the word of the Lord this morning. After Moses, the Lord's servant, died, the Lord spoke to Joshua, Nun's son. He had been Moses' helper. "My servant Moses is dead. Now get ready to cross over the Jordan with this entire people to the land that I am going to give to the Israelites. I am giving you every place where you set foot exactly as I promised Moses. Your territory will stretch from the desert and the Lebanon as far as the great Euphrates River, including all Hittite land up to the Mediterranean Sea on the west. Be very brave and strong as you carefully obey all of the instruction that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Don't deviate even a bit from it, either to the right or to the left. Then you will have success wherever you go. Never stop speaking about this instruction scroll. Recite it day and night so you can carefully obey everything written in it. Then you will accomplish your objectives and you will succeed." Then Joshua gave orders to the people's officers. "Go through the camp and give orders to the people. Say, get supplies ready for yourselves because in 3 days you will be crossing over the Jordan to enter the land and take it over. The Lord your God is going to give it to you as your possession." Then Joshua addressed the Reubenites, the Gadites, and half of the tribe of Manasseh. "Remember the command that Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you. The Lord your God will give you rest and give you this land. Your wives, children, and cattle may remain in the land that Moses has given you on the east side of the Jordan. But all you brave fighters organized for war must cross over in front of your fellow Israelites. You must help them until the Lord gives a rest like yours to your fellow Israelites, and they too take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving them. Then you may return and take over the land that belongs to you, which Moses, the Lord's servant, has given you on the east side of the Jordan. We will obey you in the same way that we obeyed Moses. Just let the Lord your God be with us as he was with Moses." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, we are talking about legacy. We jumped in a little bit last week and talked somewhat about the importance of legacy and how we each have the stories that we tell as we grew up, or we each have a different legacy that we may focus on within our families. And I wanted to ask you this morning, so for us as a church, and we're going to write it down together, what is our legacy? What is the legacy of Hilldale United Methodist Church? Not everybody at one time. Community outreach. All right. All right, I heard service back there. Discipleship. Friendly church. Friendly. What? Missions? Teaching?
Home for Christian community.
Okay, community. Community and support. Music.
Laughter.
I like that one. I mean, I like most of these too, but that's a good one. Family loving. Let's hope we can put those together.
Multiplication.
All right. So we got teaching, so we got Christian learning. Supporting one another. That's right, Marinelle. We'll underline it for a little highlighting. What else? I want you to think back. Think back if there's anything else. Think about the generations that came before us, the people who grabbed you and invited you to Sunday school or whatever it was. You have any other ideas? We can write them down or we can keep moving. Inspiring? I like that one. So we'll write it down. Concerns for our fellow man. Just because my handwriting is sloppy and you can't read it doesn't mean it's not true. Fellowship. All right, now, we mentioned a little bit last week, before I dive in and use these kind of in our what we're doing today, we talked a little bit last week about how the world in general, but especially in the civilized kind of Western side of the world too, it can feel like what we do is we kind of worship what's new and young. What must be newer is better. Youth is better than age. Younger is prettier or more handsome or more fit or whatever it is. So we kind of begin to put this focus. But we talked last week about how we don't necessarily believe that's true in all instances, but we specifically began to look at the way that we kind of revolt against that is we begin to think that preservation of what's old is our legacy, right? So the way that we push back against new and different is we begin to revert back and to exclude all of it, and we begin to just keep hold of what is as if what is what always should be. And you're like, wait a second, that's a weird thing for a preacher to say. Just stick with me. My question for us today is, have we lived the legacy we've been given? Have we lived the legacy we've been given? Are we living the legacy we've been given? And are we training up the generations who will go after us to continue living this legacy as well? Now, in our families, as well as in our church, this is a harder question than it seems. I think our gut reaction is usually, yes, of course we are. Of course we're doing that. We're doing all these things. I mean, this is all this wonderful stuff that our church especially, but every church is, I'm sure we're doing all of these things. And we begin to focus on preservation instead of the mission, okay? And we're going to begin to look at what that looks like for Joshua and how we might do this differently. Now, we learned last week that Moses was getting ready to go into the promised land. And do you remember why he didn't get to go into the promised land? Was it because he already did his time and it's time for someone younger to do it? No, it wasn't. Why did Moses not go into the promised land? Yeah, or maybe it's because he didn't take his shoes off on holy ground, right? But it's because he died. He led until he died. Now that makes me tired just thinking about it. But that's the legacy we were given. And then he begins to hand it over to Joshua. And not only was Moses living this until he died, but Moses was training up Joshua, his friend, to take it over from him when he did die. I didn't hear Moses say it's another generation's turn until his turn was over. Right? Because that's the only way to make sure that a new generation is trained up to take their turn. A generation can't learn what it means to lead until the generation before them leads them and what it means to lead that. And these are hard questions for the church today, and they bring up strong feelings. So what does it mean? What are some of the requirements of legacy? What does that look like? We begin to see these in Joshua here in chapter 1. As we look at verse 2, it says, "My servant Moses is dead. Now get ready to cross over the Jordan with this entire people to the land that I am going to give to the Israelites." Now there's a bunch packed into this one single, or actually two verses right here. The first sentence just says, "My servant Moses is dead." We already knew that, but now God is telling Joshua. But then he says, "Now get ready to cross over the Jordan with this entire people to the land that I am going to give to the Israelites." Now, one of the requirements of legacy is to get ready. One of the requirements of legacy is learning and discipleship. One of the requirements of legacy is being involved in the missions and the service and the things that go on. If we're going to continue to live these in the future, then we've got to live these now. We can't begin to think that we are a place that is so full of mission and service and friendliness and all of these things if we're not doing missions and service and being friendly. We have to get ready. And the way that we get ready is the way that Moses showed us of living what is happening now. And then he gets others ready. You see, Joshua tells them, he's telling others too, now get ready to cross over the Jordan. And then we find out later in the scriptures as we get to verses 10 and 11, it says, then Joshua gave orders to the people's officers, go through the camp and give orders to the people saying, get supplies ready for yourselves. Get supplies ready for yourselves. But pastor, I'm no longer being fed. Joshua said, get it ready for yourself. God told Joshua to get ready. Joshua told the officers to get ready. The officers told the people to get ready. It is time to pack up. It is time to get ready. It is time to be those who are waiting, chomping at the bit for the mission and legacy that God has planned. Get supplies ready for yourselves, because in 3 days you'll be crossing over the River Jordan to enter the land and take it over. The Lord your God is going to give it to you as your possession. Verse 7 says, be very brave and strong as you carefully obey all of the instruction that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Be very brave and strong as you carefully obey. You catch the three kind of strong words there. Be brave. Be strong. And carefully obey what Moses has commanded you from God. I'm going to tell you a way. I'm going to step on some toes today. I don't know if you noticed, but we're going to go for it. I survived brain cancer. I feel like I can survive this. One of the ways that I see most that churches are no longer brave and strong is that they consider preservation of the property and risking no risk of liability over living the commands of Jesus. You want to house someone who's homeless? We got to call our insurance agent first. We want to have somebody use our space? They better come with a rider. We want to go out into the community? We got to have insurance for that van. Now, is it right to make sure that we're protected? Absolutely. Is that going to be an excuse in the face of God when we're asked if we helped our neighbor? Nope. I don't believe it will be. We are a people who lean into what it means to trust, to be brave and to be strong, and to carefully obey. Not obey only when it doesn't risk. Because that's not the model we find in early Christianity. As a matter of fact, the way that Christianity moved forward, the way that the faith moved forward, the way that Jesus could be who Jesus was, is by risking the most in the most riskiest places. Paul didn't go to the places that were easiest. Paul went to the places that were riskiest. Jesus didn't go to the places that were easiest. Jesus went to the places where he could get leprosy. Jesus went to the places where he could be murdered. Jesus went to the places where he could be mugged like the Good Samaritan. Jesus went to the religious leaders where there was going to be more judgment than anyone could possibly handle. He went to the risky places. And when he could have avoided risk, he didn't. Pilate said, explain yourself. And Jesus said, just let the people do what they want. Pilate said, give me a reason not to murder you. I don't believe you deserve it. And Jesus said, do whatever you want. The legacy of faith is a legacy of risk. The legacy of faith is a legacy of bravery and strength and carefully obeying. And you see, I think sometimes we take carefully in the term to mean like meek, like we're slow and hesitant and guarded and cautious. But I take it in the way to mean we believe this so much that we're willing to do it no matter what. That's what it means to carefully obey. Verse 8 continues, never stop speaking about the instruction scroll. Recite it daily and nightly so you can carefully obey everything written in it. Then you will accomplish your objectives. And you will succeed. Now, I had this coach And I'm not sure he was the sharpest crayon in the box. But he had this comment he would say to us when we were playing the game. And the way that it always worked is if you were the offense on the field, the defensive coaches were always terribly mean to you if you messed up. And the offensive coaches were nice. And then when you came on the sideline, they reversed. I don't know why. But this one guy would always scream out, "Never stop not stopping. Never stop not stopping." And he used to confuse the daylights out of me. Like when he would scream it, everybody would stop and just stare at him because we didn't know what he meant. Joshua tells him, never stop speaking. Or God tells Joshua, never stop speaking about this instruction scroll. People of faith never stop not stopping. People of faith never stop not stopping. Well, now, Pastor, how does that step on our toes? Is calling a feeling? What do you think? Is calling a feeling? Have you ever agreed to do something, but then when it came time to do it, you didn't really feel like doing it? Have you ever done something for a while and you kind of feel like maybe you don't want to do it anymore? Is calling a feeling? I wonder if we look at the patriarchs and matriarchs of faith, if we look at Jesus, I wonder if calling was a feeling. There are times I wish calling was a feeling. Because as a pastor, as just a human being, there's times where all of us maybe don't feel like it, if we're going to be honest. Whatever it is, of faith, of family, of whatever it is, I am so tired of diapers. We're done with them now, thank goodness. We got a video of me stomping that thing to death. The diaper pail, not the kid. Internet, get that last part in that sound bite. All right. But as a father, my calling to be a parent doesn't stop when I don't feel like it. My responsibility as your pastor doesn't stop when I don't feel like it. My responsibility to our friendship doesn't stop when I don't feel like it. Otherwise, that's not actually friendship, that's convenience, right? Do you have any family or friends in your life that are convenient family and friends? Yeah? I've noticed there's a lot more people wearing orange this year. Have y'all noticed that? I'm not picking on anybody who is wearing orange, I promise. You got a good year, it's convenient to wear orange. We always make our kids wear the colors of the teams we like on the days after they lose. Because we're not people of convenience. We want a legacy of commitment. A legacy of loyalty. A legacy of doing the hard thing when we don't feel like doing the hard thing. Now that's hard to cultivate. That's hard to do. I don't like it. I don't feel it. I don't want to do it most days. And I'm not perfect. I don't get it right. I try to get it right. But if calling's not a feeling, then what is it and when does it stop? When does it change? When can you put it down and walk away? When can you drop it and not show? What does it look like to be the church if a legacy of calling is not just a legacy of feeling like doing it when it's convenient? See, a legacy of faith is that we never stop not stopping. We keep going. And that's tough. So we get ready and we get others ready. Who got you ready for a life of faith? That one's not rhetorical, if you got an answer. Who trained you up in the way you should go and is part of your testimony for why you're here today? Your parents? Your Sunday school teachers? Your friends? Your grandfather? Your spouse? You say spouse? Yeah. Church family, Bible study teachers, youth leaders. Now we put on our boots again, our steel-toed boots. Who are you doing that for? Who is going to be able to say that about you? Right? We were given a legacy of all of these wonderful things. Who was brave and strong in faith? Who modeled what it means to obey carefully and in the face of hardship and difficulty? You see, he didn't say, go when it's convenient across that river. He didn't say, go when it's safe across that river. Now, he was told, go and I'm going to be with you and you're going to conquer and you're going to have it. That does make it easier. I got to be honest. If you know the outcome before you start, it kind of makes it easier to start sometimes. If I knew I could go home and lift a few weights and weigh 30 pounds less, I'd do it. Right? But if I got to do it indefinitely and I don't know when it ends, I'm not exactly happy about that. I wish it was a little faster. I wish it was something a little new and younger that would make it easier. Who was it that never stopped? Because you see, it's our turn to be those people. And I know today is not a normal feel good. And I've got one more. And I'm going to be brutally honest with you, and you can be mad all week with me. That's okay. My very first Sunday back, do you remember I announced that we were going to be building a ramp for people in the community on that coming Saturday, October the 22nd? And you remember they told me we weren't going to be doing that because four people signed up. It's the 22nd. Well, who was Tennessee playing that day? It wasn't Alabama. I believe it was UT Martin. My friends, sometimes we have to make sure we are the legacy that we think we are. Sometimes we think we're something we're not. And I believe we're a friendly place. Who are you being friendly to that's new? I believe we're a place of mission and service. What missions and service are you involved in? I believe we're a place of discipleship. Who are you discipling? I believe we're a place of laughter and fellowship. How are you creating fellowship and laughter? I believe we're a place that treats each other like family and loving, and I believe this happens in our groups where we're already connected and treat each other like family. How are we bringing new people into that family? I believe we're a place that offers community and support. Where are you involved in community and support? Kathy would love some new people for music, I believe. She's not here this morning, so I get to just randomly speak for her. My friends, if we are going to take the promised land, God says it's going to be given to us, but for it to be given to us, we have to be brave and strong and carefully obey and to get ready and to get others ready. And we have to get ready ourselves. Now, as we continue to talk about legacy, as we go on from here, it won't be quite as hard-nosed, I promise. You won't have to wear your steel-toe boots next week. But sometimes we have to ask some hard questions. And sometimes we have to look at ourselves in the mirror and ask if we're being the people we think we are, if we're being the church we think we are, if we're living the mission we think we are. There's this great story that I've shared with you when I first got here. I'll share it with you one more time and do it quickly. There was a lady whose parents used to throw all these wonderful dinner parties at her house. And when she was growing up, she remembered her parents' dinner parties, that people came from all over and that they were just, they were ruckus and they was full with laughter and they just had so much community around it. And she remembered her mama using the china, the special china her mama would bring out for these dinner parties. And they had a special couch where they would all sit around and people would take turns sitting on this couch and telling a story for people to involve in. And people would just be enamored with these stories. So when her mom passed away, she got the china And in order to honor her mother, she put it in the cabinet and never used it so that it would be preserved the way that her mother had handed it down. And she took the couch and she wrapped it in plastic. And she set it in the special room where none of the kids and grandkids were allowed to go because they didn't want to get it dirty. And it was in the entertaining space, but they never entertained. But she preserved that couch in honor of her mother. My friends, we were not handed a building, a classroom, an endowment to preserve it. We were handed it to continue living the legacy of faith that the people before us used that space for, that dreamed about that space. Sometimes we think we're being faithful in the act of preservation. But I wonder if we're preserving the legacy of mission and service and risk and faith. Or I wonder if we're preserving some of the items people used to live that faith, that risk. I hope I still get to be your pastor next week. And I hope you come back. Because my friends, I want us to be a place that lives the legacy of the people who came before us, who thought about planting a church in the middle of nowhere. Wasn't this the middle of nowhere in the 50s? Right? I mean, not like it was not close to anywhere, but we were coming out of downtown to come here because that's where the people were going to be. We met in a school. Think about the people who brought you by to faith, who grabbed you by the ear when you walked in here or drug you here crying and screaming. I don't know. They were people who risked. They were people who loved. And I don't think we're honoring them with preservation. I think we honor them by living their legacy live and out loud and intensely and fervently until the day that we die, and bringing others along with us, just like they brought you. That's not a season. That's not something that happens for a little while. That's not a sign up for a few months. That's a lifetime of legacy. Moses was old. Moses had physical things that held him back. I got to imagine Moses was tired. Joshua didn't shirk his responsibilities. Joshua went to Moses, who was leading, and became his friend and stood by his side and did what he was doing and learned and got ready so that he would be ready when it was his turn. We are all responsible in this. My friends, faith life is not faith when it's convenient or easy. And you know that. But if we want to be a church for generation after generation, we're going to have to look around. We're going to have to figure out where some of those generations are. We're going to have to find ways to invest in them. We're going to have to find ways to be meaningful in their lives and to offer the value you found in faith to new generations. And that's hard work. And that requires that we never stop not stopping. Let's pray. Lord, we're glad this one's over. Lord, we want to be your church, the way that you have always dreamed of us being. Give us your vision for who we are and who we should be. Give us the willingness to be brave and strong and to carefully obey. And to put your commands before hedging our risk. Help us to be a place that knows that calling is not a feeling, but a lifetime of service, a lifetime of discipleship and of fellowship and of community, a lifetime of loving and of supporting. And help us to hand those things down to generation after generation, the way that it was given to us. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.